there's a lot of capital chasing these founders. And so when we come across them, we want to make sure to give them what they need to build a great business. And if that's $17 million, that's $17 million. My grandma will still, you know, blink twice.
I'm Scott McGrew. Welcome to Sand Hill Road.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
This week on Sand Hill Road, Lottie Siniscalco, newly promoted partner at Emergence Capital.
So my actual full name is Carlotta Maria Adelaide Siniscalco. That's my real name. But let's say that it's not very American friendly. So I have adopted a nickname to make it easier for everybody to address me.
Lottie, as you might have guessed, is from Italy.
And to this day, my family still lives in the same big house in Milan. They have no idea what venture capital is. They are baffled at what I do. And they still ask me when I'm coming back. It's been 17 years that I've lived in the United States.
Looking back over our past episodes, we've made several trips to Emergence Capital, talking to partners Kevin Spain.
You know, these businesses increasingly are raising larger, later stage private financings.
Santi Subotovsky.
And the fact that people love the technology was all we needed to make that investment.
And Jake Saper.
The whole idea is like, what are you strong at? Where can I compliment you? And then, okay, now it's time for me to step up and do my thing.
But never a female partner, because up until now, Emergence had no women at that level. Siniscalco is the first. First of all, it's kind of hard to believe. I mean, I know a lot of the folks at Emergence. They're progressive people, or have I been wrong? Have they fooled me this whole time?
They have not fooled you. They have not fooled you. So I think this really goes back to the way we think about hiring and the way we think about promoting. So we have six partners at Emergence today. I'm one of the six. And five of the six started off as associates. And the sixth is a founding GP. So in order to make it to partner, you kind of have to, again, come from within.
Because Emergence doesn't hire from outside.
Yeah. And so the way, you know, to really get more women in the partnership is to get more women to start off as associates and principals, which I can tell you we're doing a lot of work right now on that. But it's just the law of small numbers in a way. So I can tell you I feel very strongly that this is a place that really allows women to thrive. To give you a sense, I got pregnant 4 months into my job here. I'm pregnant again now. I feel incredibly supported by my team. My family is very close to everybody on the partnership and beyond. And so it's really just a matter of being super disciplined in how we expand the team. And I am excited at the idea of having a lot more women on the partnership one day.
So now that you're a partner, what does that allow you to do?
In practice, that allows me to bring entrepreneurs in front of my investment committee without requiring approval. So it allows me to trust my gut a little bit more. And you know, ultimately, we still make decisions as a team. So none of us is a lone wolf that can make decisions on our own. But I got the trust of my partners so much so that they will take an hour of their time to listen to a pitch of an entrepreneur that I think has a shot at becoming someone that we partner with.
You brought up your pregnancy. This is something also that you had pinned to your Twitter. I was astonished that you were astonished. I mean, I realize the listener doesn't know the story yet.
Yeah.
If you're okay with talking about it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But the bottom line is you were so astonished by your all-male coworkers rallying with you. And to some degree, that made me sad, you know, that you were astonished. But if that's a story you're comfortable telling, I'd like to hear it.
I would love to tell that story, Scott. So the story, and you can go on my Twitter to see the series of tweets that I wrote about it. But the long story short is that when I was roughly actually 3 months into my job, I got pregnant and then I had a miscarriage, which is something that's extremely common for women. Women don't talk. I mean, people don't talk a lot about it. It makes people feel uncomfortable. And it's a very difficult thing to go through. And what happened to me was that I had a complicated miscarriage that forced me to go to the hospital for a day. And therefore, I had to miss a day of work. And it was a Friday. And so when I got back to work on Monday, my partners were like, oh, hey, well, are you okay? We heard you were sick on Friday. And kind of in the heat of the moment, I wasn't sure whether it was okay to share that news with them. I said, yeah, I had a miscarriage and I'm recovering. And I got a really overwhelming and touching amount of support. And this is an all-male partnership. And the reason that I was overwhelmed by it, so there's a couple. The first is, it's so hard to break into venture. And it's so hard to break into venture as a woman and as an immigrant who has no connections whatsoever to the VC world, that I was afraid that sharing that I was trying to get pregnant so quickly after getting my job would convey the message that I wasn't committed, that I was not going to work hard enough. And, you know, this is not because of what Emergence made me believe, but it's because of what, in a way, my experience up until that day made me believe, which was in other firms and in other systems, in more traditional systems where there aren't a lot of women at the top with kids. So I was really nervous about that. And in a way, my superpower had always been to work harder than anybody else and to be more intense than anybody else. And there was almost this tension between how can I continue to do that and also be a mom. And that's a process that Emergence deeply supported me through. And frankly, I'm still going through it right now as I'm becoming a partner. And actually, I got my news that I got the promotion 2 days after realizing I was pregnant.
Congratulations on both.
Yeah.
You are very comfortable talking about, you know, women in venture. And I think most women are. I will tell you that sometimes I'm uncomfortable, not by the subject, but I'm well aware when Jake Saper, who works in your office, and I talked, or Santi Suvatovsky, at no time do we talk about being men.
Mm-hmm.
And this idea of women in venture is an important subject to discuss. On the other hand, I generally only discuss it with women.
Women.
What's your, and I'll give you an example of that. I was talking with Mary Donofrio of Bessemer, who had become a partner at a very young age. I want to say 29. And it was astonishing how well she had done. And I think I even said to her, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm patronizing, because it wasn't. But it, at the time, it felt as if... Here, let me just play that part of the interview with Mary Donofrio. So I don't want to be in... I don't want to sound in any way patronizing, but you've done all this under the age of 30? I mean, I realize you have an MBA from Yale. I mean, you are well qualified to be doing this. But that's a hell of an accomplishment.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you.
I don't even know how I did that, sound patronizing, while explaining I was trying not to be patronizing. I was just so happy for her. with her accomplishment. And I think some people thought it was being patronizing in a way that it wasn't. I wasn't trying to. Mm-hmm. And I got myself into that trap of being, the older middle-aged man. Good on you. Yeah. It was a genuine compliment.
Yeah. I get it. I totally get it. So to me, this comes down to there's a standard of, or there's a perceived standard of what success in venture looks like. And when you are a young woman coming up, you're kind of coming up against the standard because you look up at the stage of who's speaking at all these big events and you read the books of who are these legendary venture capitalists. And there's really a very small group of women in it. So the reason I like to talk about it is that I like to make it more normal for women to see themselves as successful venture capitalists. Because if you go on Twitter, there's a lot more male voices than female voices. And as a result, from the point of view of a really, really young woman starting off, maybe being 21, 22 and deciding, hey, is VC a career for me or not? If you don't see representation at the top, you'll think, oh man, I really have to go against the current. I'll need to work so hard because there's so many stereotypes that I'll have to break and hoops that I have to jump through. And my hope is that, you said it right, my hope is that one day we don't have to talk about it. Hey, like a young woman making partner is no longer big news. It's just like, oh, a young person making partner is a big news.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
As partner, one of Siniscalco's first investments was $17 million Series A in a company called Talent Hack. What did you see in that company? What does it do and what got you excited?
Yes. So Talent Hack is a company that allows this new group of that people are calling creators. Think of them as independent workers, people who want to work for themselves, allows them to run a small business specifically around being a fitness instructor. What I saw in it, the real answer to that is that I saw a founder that I thought was a one in a million. And the reason for that is that she has an incredible magnetic energy that allows her to attract very high caliber people on her team. She makes her a very effective saleswoman and a very effective fundraiser. And so in the context of being an effective leader, those are qualities that I really look up to. I also think this is a market that's going to grow tremendously. We've seen a lot of the way people work has shifted. What people are attracted to in terms of working opportunities has shifted. And this group, again, that we can call independent workers, creators, has grown very meaningfully in the past few years. And in fact, I hope that this is not my last investment in the space.
So we're talking about things like coaches and trainers and dance teachers and instructors who are able to use software to create scheduling and billing and those sorts of things.
Exactly. That's what Talent Hack does. Yes. But when we talk about creators more broadly, there's a lot of other categories.
Sure.
You have, consultants, you have people who are digital creators, photographers, videographers. So the size of the market is north of, you know, 40, 50 million people in the world today, growing at double digits.
Let me ask you a question I think your family back in Italy would ask, and that is $17 million. You know, you create some software, and I'm sure it's wonderful software and a great service, and I'm sure she's a great founder, but $17 million?
Yeah, I mean, this speaks to, one, where the markets are today, and especially when they were where they were, I think, in 2021. Obviously, there's been a correction since December. But finding great founders is difficult. And there's a lot of capital chasing these founders. And so when we come across them, we want to make sure to give them what they need to build a great business. And if that's $17 million, that's $17 million. My grandma will still, you know, blink twice.
So you've written that operational issues for female founders, they encounter a lot more challenges in hiring and funding and developing and maintaining a female-friendly culture. Talk to me about those sorts of challenges.
Yeah. So again, to me, this goes back to what is considered the norm and what is considered the standard in tech. And how does that differ from the way a female founder, a female CEO might want to start her business? So there's a little bit around what type of culture you want to build and getting people excited around the table so that you're not seeing as someone going against the current, but you're seeing as a thoughtful leader setting up the right structure from day zero. On fundraising, there's all sort of biases that people have. And I really believe that very few people are trying to be biased. Most of us are biased, but in a subconscious way, in an unconscious way. And when you are a woman founder and you're pitching, there's some biases that you have to go up against. And I'll give you a few examples. Women tend to be asked a lot more about downside than upside, for example. There's a lot of research on that. Women are typically described as less visionary than men are, even if they're literally reading the same script, or less agreeable if they are a little bit more pushy in what they're saying. So there's all sort of nuances that need to be navigated by a woman to be perceived as effective as a man. And I'm very excited to coach and help women go through it. But honestly, to me, the coaching is to be done as much on the founder side as on the investor side. Because step one for me is becoming aware of what even my own biases are and helping my team become aware of what their own biases are. So we can actually be objective in the way we assess. To me, that's baseline.
You've said that it's the best and the worst time to become a woman founder.
Yeah. So I think COVID created a few interesting dynamics. It's no secret that during COVID, a lot of the work, housework, childcare work, ended up being on the shoulders of women. And that's in a way why it can be a very big burden to have to carry a household, make sure your kids are sitting in front of Zoom and attending virtual preschool, and at the same time getting a company off the ground. At the same time, I do think that there are a lot of trends and underlying like tectonic shifts in place that make it very like the perfect moment for women to start. People are starting to pay attention. Our LPs, the environment in general is starting to realize, hey, we can't continue to deny opportunities to women. And so if you are a woman founder today, there's an abundance of tools and networks and support available that was just not available before. I also think employees really care. So in this moment in life, in the history of the world, where there's a lot of competition for talent in particular, whatever you can do to attract the best employees is a competitive advantage. And if today Gen Zs care a lot more about diversity than ever before, then if you have a diverse leadership, that's going to give you a leg up. And hey, like, that is going to help you build a great company. So I really do think that these two things are true. I'm starting to believe more and more that this is the best time possible for a woman to start become a founder. And I'm excited to find more and more women that do so.
Lottie Siniscalco, partner at Emergence Capital. Lottie talked about bias and how men and women alike can be subconsciously biased against women, even when all other metrics are equal. Stanford professor Francis Flynn ran an experiment in which students were presented with two identical resumes, one belonging to a woman named Heidi, the other belonging to a man named Howard.
And it turned out that they deemed both Howard and Heidi were equally competent, but they liked Howard a lot better. So rather a fascinating result. It makes me want to change my name to Howard.
Heidi Roizen of Threshold Ventures and I talk about that experiment in a 2019 episode of Sand Hill Road. I encourage you to look back in our library, find it, and give it a listen. It's a good one. Sand Hill Road is produced by Sean Myers under the leadership of Sarah Bueno and Stephanie Adruni. For more interviews with Silicon Valley's most influential entrepreneurs, check me out on TV at Press Here. That's Sunday mornings on NBC Bay Area and everywhere in the world on iTunes and at PressHereTV.com.